Good morning again. Nice to see you all. Before we come this morning, just think when you listen to the news, there is so much going on. There's so much noise from the news, so much this could happen, this may never happen. And people are getting all worried and writing in and going on social media, and the fear factor is just unbelievable. And what does the Lord tell us to do? Not to worry, because we can't change a single thing. Worrying does us no good. But before that, I'm coming to this morning's reading. It's from Philippians 4:4-9, from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God be with you all. Amen. What a strong passage there. And you know, Paul's telling them, what he's actually saying is, what you've seen of Christ in me, because Paul followed Christ and he is our example. So before we come to this morning's message, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with me, Lord. You'll uphold my throat and stop me coughing until I've delivered your word with your authority and your power, Lord. Lord, use me as your instrument. We only need to hear from you. Anything that I've written, if it's of no use to you, just blow it away like chaff in the wind, Lord, and I will move on. But Lord, I just pray that you will speak to each one of us here, because you've got something to say to each one of us from your word. And may we not just be hearers of it, may we put it into action as the Apostle Paul would implore us all today. And we ask it all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, my title for this morning's message is Be Still and Know That I Am God. As we read that from Psalm 46 and verse 10, this is God. He says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What a statement. It could not be any clearer, could it? It appears to me that it's not a suggestion, more of a command from God. And if we are serious about living a Christian life, then we must not just understand, but we must understand and do what that directive from God tells us to do. It does not mean that we are given the right to sit down, put our feet up, and just enjoy life, as it were, but that we must be serious about that direction and make time to read and meditate on God's word and follow his directions. As God tells us through the prophet Jeremiah, my old favorite, 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now that says to me that if we want to know God's plans for our life, we need to have a relationship with him And it must be a close relationship. It must be a two-way relationship. We need to listen and obey his directions. And it's only then will we receive his blessings that will enable us to grow in spirit. Only then will we receive what we need to follow his plan for our lives and to get there. To do this, we need to follow the Apostle Paul's instructions from Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I don't know about you, but I've found that the older I get, the more prayers and requests and petitions that I fire up to our loving Father. And I can honestly say that my prayers have always been answered, maybe not as I thought, but when I look back, it's like that old poem about footprints in the sand, isn't it? You look back and you can see the footprints where you've come from, and where they're deeper, you know that's where the Lord has lifted you up and brought you through the difficult patch. It's important that we remember that all of God's promises are yes and amen. But only, and it is a big caveat, it's only if we have accepted his Son, Jesus, as our Lord and Saviour. It's only then that we can claim all of his promises for ourselves. Jesus himself tells us in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, it's not an easy thing to be still in this world, the way things are. But I would say, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible. That's why there's so many people upset by what's going on in the world today. In the world we live in today, people seem to be in such a rush to get on in life. They want to build their future and fulfill all of their dreams and desires. They strive hard in a rush to climb that ladder of success, paying no attention or giving no concern to who they may have to step on to get to the dizzy heights to achieve their ambition. And when they finally get what they've always thought they wanted, they may still be disappointed, and the dreams may become a nightmare. How many times have you wished for something, and then you've got it, and you don't know what to do with it? And you think, what did I buy this here? What did I do? What was the point? The point is, you didn't go to the Lord first and ask, did I need that? Did I really need it? But so it's important that we listen to his direction. Then there are many parents today who, from the moment their child or children are born, they seem to rush them. Such a rush to get into nursery school. They want them to grow up. They want them to be groomed to fulfill sometimes their parents' ambition for their lives. I am sure that we can all relate to parents who seem to try to achieve their dreams through their children. Things which they were unable to do. And I find that very sad, because it's actually robbing a child of the individuality and the thoughts and that might prosper them and help them to grow. And they don't consider what God's plan is for those children. Turning back to the title of today's message, Be Still and Know That I Am God. If you love the Lord, it's important that you understand what being still means. It's actually setting aside time to communicate with the Lord. And it needs to be a two-way communication. God wants to hear from his children through their prayer. And he will communicate with us as we read and meditate on his word. I'm sure, like me, many of you have read a passage of scripture one day, and got a blessing from it. And then you read another day, something else jumps off the page at you. Because Scripture meets you where you are at that time. And that's why the Bible has existed for so long, and it's still one of the best-selling books going, if not the number one in the world. Because it meets every need. I never get sick of reading the same passage. And every time I read it, I'll get something else out of it. Because the Lord has got something new to say to us. Just as our natural parents and we who are parents know, it's heartwarming to hear from our sons and daughters, isn't it? You like to hear from them. Even at times when it's not necessarily the news that you want to hear. Still, I believe it's better to know that they can trust you enough to bring you their problems, and knowing that it will not affect the love that you have for them. You know, because we are all love and concern for our children, don't we? And our relatives and whoever we're sort of close to. And it's nice to know that they can come to us for advice and value our thoughts and our advice. And that's what we need to do. How much more confident then can we be when we bring our problems to our Heavenly Father? You know, He wants to hear from His children. It's the little things, the big things, the good things, the bad things. He knows them anyway. So you're not telling them anything new, but He just wants to hear you say it. I mean, it's like us, we are children and we're family and friends. If somebody upsets you, they know that, or they can know that they've upset you. But it's nice to get a response and saying, "I'm sorry I've upset you," rather than just going and letting it fester, because then we're carrying that burden on our shoulders, aren't we? You know, but we must remember what our Heavenly Father thinks about us. It's a lovely old hymn of mine, puts it quite clearly. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that's what I like, is everything to God in prayer. It doesn't matter how big or small. A reading from Matthew 19, 23 to 30. It's Jesus talking to His disciples. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered Him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for My sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Wow. You know, I often wondered, Peter, just the human bit in it, when he came out and says, "What's in it for me?" But we can all be like that at times, can't we? What's in it for me? But it's not about what's in it for me. It should be what we can do to grow the kingdom of God. Because, as he said, we'll receive 100 times as much and inherit eternal life as well. Wow. There's not a bank anywhere in the world that would offer you such a gift as that. From that promise, Jesus makes it clear to me the width of his saying, "Be still and know that I am God." If as yet you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I suggest that you take note of the following scripture, where Jesus makes it very clear in John 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, without the covering of Jesus' righteousness, your destination cannot be heaven, and the only alternative is hell. And the choice is yours to make, and only the individual can make it. I trust and pray that if you have not yet made that choice, and you're listening to this message, that you will consider it, pray about it, and choose Jesus. The only way that you can get to the Father is through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you loved each one in this whole world enough to send your Son to pay the price for our sins. And Lord, we know that your word tells us in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have no righteousness of our own. We can only claim the righteousness of your Son. But Lord, we want to thank you that you loved us enough to send him. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you were obedient to the will of the Father and willing to lay down your life for each one who will accept you as their Lord and Saviour. So Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to bless us in the coming week. Help us to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.